beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We give God thanks and praise for another time of fellowship. This is World Explosion 2024.
Hallelujah.
To Jesus alone be all the praise and glory forever and ever.
Amen.
World Explosion 2023 was wonderful. 2022 was wonderful. And we bless God for what God has been doing. Every April, we hold World Explosion. And we thank God for the much we learn in the course of World Explosion.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We've been looking at the book of John, and we're using a particular Bible that has 26 translations. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It was published by Zondervan Publishing House. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And the general editor was Curtis Van Gaan, THD. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Doctor of Theology. And basically, this translation has its root to be the King James Version. And other translations that, while translating, render their own verses with a little additions or maybe some more words to bring about more clarity in such a way that it kind of like, let's say, is a little different from the King James. It's added. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so it just, the purpose of it is just to explain scriptures better. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
These translations do not add to the word of God. Neither do they subtract from the word of God. They just explain the word of God in better clarity. For a lot of people, they are not very down with the King James because of the thou and thee and
saith,
Colette, knoweth, you know, and every of that. So they're not very, they don't understand the King James very well. I'm a King James boy. I enjoy myself with the King James. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
But you know, just to make the Bible understandable for everyone, no matter your level of understanding, these translations are brought to be. In addition, we know that the Bible has been written in many dialects. Amen to Jesus. So that it can be made available to everybody. As much as possible in Africa, they are translating the Bible to many languages so that many Africans can read the Bible.
I mean, it's all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world, all over the world, all over the world. The Bible is translated, and I want to bless God for those who are doing such a great job, because the Bible says this gospel must go. Jesus was speaking, said this gospel must go around the earth, and then the end shall come. So they are helping the swift movement of the gospel. And I want to commend them. And so, basically, this translation is there to help us understand better and clearer. Amen to Jesus. So, last year, we stopped at John chapter 1, verse 8. And
John chapter 1 verse 8.
All right. And let's continue. We're continuing there this year again. Mm-hmm. So, let's continue.
It says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Last year we looked at other translations that try to explain this particular verse of scripture. The BRU says he was not himself the light. The RUIEU says this man was not the light. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
The BAS says he was sent to give witness about the light. Mm. These are the areas where, you know, there's a little, you know, let's use the word language change for clearer understanding.
Mm.
All right. And then the PHI says a personal witness to that light. All right. And now we're going to be looking at the personal witness to that light. You see, the striking word here is personal, because the King James Version says he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness. King James just says to bear witness. But the PHI, yes, brings a word that comes in, you know, that strikes a chord. It's the word personal. Personal.
Mm.
Personal. Personal speaks of, you know, a one-on-one thing. It speaks of no third party. It speaks of no intermediary.
And also, you know, something you own.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, when you...
It has to do with you.
You. Something that is personal cannot be taken from you.
Yes.
You know, it cannot be
taken. Only for your use.
Yeah, exactly. It's for your use. Yeah. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You have the sole right.
The sole right. The sole right to it. Yeah. All right. So we can see that that word personal strikes a chord here. And it's very important that we take note of it. You know, from creation, God wanted to have a personal relationship with man. Very personal relationship with man. You know, look at the way God created man in Genesis chapter 1. Every other creature were created by the breath, by the word of his mouth.
Mm.
Let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. When he came to man in Genesis 1 verse 6, God said, let us make man.
Mm.
Now, he did not just speak man to be, he decided to get personal in making man. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, and the Lord formed man from the dust of the earth. So God brought about the formation process. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
It was personal. Whenever you get to form, it becomes personal.
Mm.
Yeah. Even when you see children who are forming, you know, objects from clay, discover that they have a personal approach towards it. You know, molding, sculpturing, it makes you do things in a very personal note, that you don't even want any interference or any interruption. I remember when I used to draw, amen to Jesus,
amen.
When an artist draws and he stops it to continue later, if someone else comes to continue, they know. The artist will know. Whether it's drawing or it's painting or it's sculpting, the artist will know. And he would literally clean off. If it's a drawing, if it's a pen drawing, it will clean off what the other person came to do and continue with what he wants to do. And because drawing is personal.
Mm.
It's personal.
Oh, you know? Let's just say artwork.
Art, you know, fine. Art is fine. Personal.
It's personal.
It's personal. It's personal. You just want the whole, you want it to be all about you. You know, it's your creative ability.
It's in you and you want to bring it out
as it is. You don't want someone else to bring,
modify
or clarify or whatever, you know. So God created man in a personal note, and he wanted a person, and he did that because of a personal relationship he had with man, and he wanted to continue. But from the fall of man led to brought man into an impersonal relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, and when Adam sinned, basically Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, and the voice of God walked in the garden, the voice was working, and he said, Adam, where art thou? That speaks of what? A personal relationship. You see, it didn't say God worked. It said his voice was working. And you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, his voice was working. When you look at the word voice, there's the Hebrew word kol. You know, it's the word of God. It's the voice of God. It seeks. It searches. And you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah. That's the reason why I said, so is every word that proceeded out of my mouth.
Mm.
Shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Because why? The word of God works. And it works.
Yes.
It is him released. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the same word is what we saw in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So he is a person. When God sends his word, he sends it on a personal note for a personal work. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
All right. And so it's a personal thing. Amen to Jesus. God needed a personal relationship between him and man. Now, after the fall of man, man lost that personal relationship between God. And God kept seeking for the personal relationship on and on. We see that when man lost that personal relationship, man had to resort to what? Using offerings and sacrifices to get the attention of God, to communicate with God. When we're children, we learned that, you know, Cain and Abel, when they offered the sacrifice to God, we saw in the movies that the smoke of Abel's sacrifice was going straight to heaven, while Cain's own scattered. You know, and going straight means it was accepted. Praise God forevermore. The Bible said the sacrifice of Abel was accepted before the Lord, and that was where man could communicate with God. It became an impersonal communication line. You know, man needed a sacrifice to communicate, needed an offering to communicate. It became impersonal. In fact, after God spoke to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, the next time he spoke was when Cain sinned. So it's as though it was only when man sinned God spoke. You know, and that is the understanding that a lot of people have about God, that God is a wicked, is a tax master with a stick or a big cane waiting for us to sin, and then he flogs us. After all, it was when Adam sinned that the last time after God spoke to Adam was when Adam sinned, and we didn't hear God speak to Adam again after then. The next time God spoke was Cain, when Cain sinned. Praise God forevermore. But that's not God. Are we together? Some of us believe that God is just quiet when we are pleasing him. He doesn't care when we are pleasing. But once we just sin,
he comes out
as if God is locked up in his inner chamber, waiting for us to say, no, that's not God. Are you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. God wants a relationship with us. It's relationship driven. Discover that, okay, Enoch walked with God. If it was about only sin, how would Bible say Enoch walked with God? Enoch was pleasing before the Lord. Are you get what I'm saying? And God walked with him, you know. But the next time we heard that God spoke again to Noah was when the sons of men were wicked. So the next one was sin again that caught the attention of God. Mm-hmm. Are you get what I'm saying? And then the next was Abraham. But in terms of Abraham, we saw that it had nothing to do with sin. Praise God forevermore. And after Abraham, the next was Moses. You know, the Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God who has sundry times in the past spoke through the fathers, through prophets. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2 says, and in these last days spoken through his son Jesus, who is the heir of all things. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophet because God needed an intermediary. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the New Testament, God does not speak through prophet because God does not need an intermediary. God came down to man in the person of his son so that he can interact with us on our level. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was what salvation was all about, to come down to our level. Salvation was God coming down to our level for us to see him as man. Are we together? To interact at our level. And then when we get saved, God calls us to the point of what? Consecration, to the point of walking with him, to the point of, that's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, I think verse 18, it says, come, let us what? Reason together. Salvation is God coming to reason with us. Are we together? Mm-hmm. But now, for the point of dedication is us coming to reason with God. Are we together? That's why we win. God wins us at salvation. We win him at what? Dedication. Apostle Paul said he wanted to win Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God comes to us at salvation, but we come to God at dedication. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That means we have a place of coming to God still. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And all of this happens when we understand that God, we must have a personal relationship with God. The word personal is from the American dictionary defined personal as of relating to or affecting a what? Particular person. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
Now, we are using these other translations. And so when we use these translations, we more often will not use the Hebrew and Greek because these translations have done some breaking downs.
Mm.
Are you getting what I'm saying? So we are just breaking down as they have broken down.
Mm.
Praise God forevermore. So it means, number one, of relating to or affecting a particular person, which means a private individual. So when we're talking about personally, it has to be something private, not public. You know, it has to be something hidden, secret. Peter was talking about the hidden man of the heart. Are we together? Not a general opinion, a public opinion, not propaganda, not rumor. Are we together?
Yes.
Number two is done in person without the intervention of another. So you can see when we're talking about personal here, external intervention is never what? Into the picture. It means also proceeding from a single what? Person. A single person. Then number three, it means carried on between individuals directly.
Mm.
from the directly, not indirectly. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, why did God stop speaking through prophets and spoke through in the New Testament? He speaks only through his son Jesus. Now, no matter how you do it, reported speeches would always have a little twist and turns, either because of hearing. Are you getting me? Mm-hmm. Remember, we hear what we want to hear. And it's amazing how you would tell somebody something, and when the person is going to report the speech, he would give it in a way that you never believe that's what you said. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Reported speeches have some twist and turn. Some of the time there could be some perspective approach towards it. Some other times there could be some emotions affecting it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why reported speeches always have a little twist and turns. The prophets of old gave reported speeches, but from time to time, their emotions got involved. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mm. Their perspective also got involved. Are you getting me? Now, for man to hear God clearly without any emotional hullabaloo or perspective hitches is Jesus.
Yes.
That's the only way man can hear God perfectly. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, so basically, do we have New Testament prophets? Yes, we still have New Testament prophets. Do they speak for God? No, they don't speak for God. Are they middlemen for God? No, they are not middlemen for God. Are they third-party communication link between God and man? No. What are they? They only confirm what Jesus
has
said.
Amen.
So if the prophet is not confirming what Jesus has said, then you have to question that what? Prophecy. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And it also means being rational and self-conscious. Being rational and what? Self-conscious. So John was a private and individual witness of Jesus.
Mm.
Actually, the word witness actually means somebody that was there to see it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So John was not just a public witness of Jesus. What he did publicly was out of a private understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was out of a private conviction that I gave a public declaration. More often than not, what we have in the church today is people who are giving public declaration without private conviction.
Mm.
You know, and it's affecting us a great deal. It's making a lot of mess in the whole witnessing thing. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Remember, we were never told to do witnessing, we're told to be witnesses. For you to be a witness, you must actually have had a very private conviction before it becomes a public declaration.
Yes.
You know, one pastor, one of our pastors then always used to say something. My dad always reiterated it. He says, if today now Jesus comes and say all these things I've seen, they are not really good. See, if it's fake, or this is a fake, I'm not really saying, you tell Jesus, I'm sorry, I've come too far, follow you, I can't go back.
That's
it. I'm saying, some of us, we can't go back. We are too old to backslide.
Mm.
Because our conviction is old, is old meat. You know, say you don't burn dry fish. Our conviction is dry fish. We've come a long way with the Lord, and the conviction is too real for you to tell us something fake. In fact, we don't want to. Apostle Paul said, anybody that comes and does not testify of Jesus, let him be accursed.
Mm.
Say, anyone that comes and preach another gospel, other than the gospel I preach to you, let that one be anathema. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because we have come too far, and it's based on a private what? Convictions. John the Baptist had a private what?
Conviction
about Jesus. Are we together?
Yes.
So it means that his testimony of Jesus was not based on what?
Hearsay.
Public opinion or hearsay.
Mm.
Or propaganda.
Yes.
Are we together?
Mm.
It was based on personal experience, which came as a result of what? A personal what? Conviction. He had a personal experience. Praise God forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
He had a personal experience. So John the Baptist narrates this experience in John chapter 1 verse 33. Please, can we read that?
John chapter 1 verse 33 says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost."
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
You know, I like the way the New English Translation puts it in, you know, over there. I like the way it puts it. It was very nice. They're very, very nice. You know, very nice.
New English Translation, I'm going to use the Easy English. Is that okay?
Let's use the English. I like the English. That's when English put it. John 1 verse 33.
NEV. Then I have NET.
That's NET, a New English Translation.
Okay, sorry. So it says, "He himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light.
John 1 verse 33, please.
Oh, okay. 33, excuse me. And I did not recognize
him. I did not recognize him.
But the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom ye see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Beauty. We said, I did not recognize him. That means John saw Jesus, but did not recognize that Jesus is the light. Are we together? But there was a basis on which he was to recognize him. The one who sent him, the Father told him, the one you see the Holy Spirit descending on, that is him. So when he saw the Holy Spirit descending on him, he recognized. This is that light what we're talking about. So it's possible for people to see Jesus and not to recognize Jesus.
Yes. If the forerunner himself
saw and did not recognize until he saw the proof to recognize. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
So it's a very important thing we need to take note of here. So that's the reason why I remember when people always used to tell me, "Are you genuine?" I said, "No, I don't have a problem. I'm not going to prove to you whether I'm genuine or not. If you have the Holy Spirit, you know whether I'm genuine or not. Because when you see me, you may not recognize me. But if you have the Holy Spirit, the proof that Jesus is the light was that the Holy Spirit descended on him in the body shape of a dove. When John saw the Holy Spirit descend on him in the body shape of a dove, he knew that this is the word. This is the light. So it's possible for them to see us and not recognize us.
Yeah.
But they will recognize us when the word have a personal word. Personal conviction, and that only can be given by the Father. By the Father. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Now, this experience was a private and individual one which John had with the Father God. You see, he had had a private and individual conversation with the Father. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
So that was the place on which he could what? Recognize the Son and bear witness that the Son is the light. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so it's important we know that if we don't have a private relationship with the Holy Spirit, I tell you, you will see Jesus and you will not recognize him. I get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I talk about we see Jesus, I mean Jesus is in us, the born-again child of God. The Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if you don't have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will see Jesus, you will see a fellow brother, and you will not recognize.
Yeah,
that was a challenge, you know, that was happening in the first location we went to. Funny enough, the people of the other faith, our cousins, they recognize me. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They recognize me. They recognize me. But born again, spirit-filled, tongue-speaking Christians could not recognize Jesus in me. But our cousin could recognize Jesus in me. In fact, people with divination, spirit with divination, they see me on the road and they recognize Jesus in me. You know? you know, somebody said something. He said, when Jesus saw the madman of Gadara, say 6,000 demons saw Jesus and recognized him. Said, but today, people that have quoted thousands of scriptures, they cannot recognize Jesus. That's the pain we have today. They have quoted thousands of scriptures, but they cannot recognize Jesus. But 6,000 demons saw Jesus and recognized him. Why? Is that, are we beginning to ask a serious question? Is it that demons now know God more than us? It basically is as a result of the fact that we are not having any relationship with the Father. We're not having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this lack of relationship is the reason why you see Jesus walking on the road and you cannot recognize him. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
John the Baptist needed the Holy Spirit to descend in the body shape of a dove on Jesus for him to recognize Jesus. Now, you don't need the Holy Spirit to descend in the bodily shape of a dove on anybody.
Yes.
He is in us. So if the Holy Spirit, when Mary went to meet Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, when I saw you, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Why? John the Baptist in the womb saw Mary carrying Jesus, just barely a month old. He leaped for joy. That means there was a connectivity. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if me as a born again child of God, I see you as a born again child and we cannot connect, there is something wrong about who we are carrying.
Yes.
Are we sure we're actually carrying the Holy Spirit?
If I carry the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in me is not comfortable with the Holy Spirit.
There's something, sir.
There's something wrong with what we possess.
What we possess. As a believer. So we have to go and check what we actually possess. You have to actually, some of the times you see some of these things, I thank God for the grace teachings. We bless God, we have the Holy Spirit. But my brothers, if we actually have the Holy Spirit and we see each other and we cannot connect, we cannot live for joy, let's check ourselves very well, you know.
So can we just drive it down a little more, because like you said, in the womb both of them could relate,
yeah,
but outside the womb the foreigner could not recognize,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So can we put them pari passu believers who yes are saved, yes have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, but cannot find a connection,
yeah,
you know. So this still boils down to the fact that we are not growing in the faith.
Exactly.
We are not. What unifies us, like you used to say, is Jesus.
It's Jesus.
So if we are not giving ourselves diligently, mm-hmm. Continuously to what unifies us, then mm-hmm. We cannot find a level ground. We cannot stay on the same.
No.
In fact, people share space.
You can't share space.
You find believers that cannot share space.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we cannot get more of Jesus that unifies us, then how would we be? We'll just keep singing unity of the body. And the more we are singing unity of the body, the more the body is kind of far away.
Okay, now another thing to look at here. When John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and Mary comes, Jesus was barely a month there. Mm-hmm. They connected.
Yeah.
Now, have you noticed that when we get born again, we connect?
Connect.
But now, after these babies grew and became adults, John the Baptist was 30 plus, mm-hmm. Jesus was 30. Mm-hmm. Now you see that they could not, John the Baptist could not recognize. Mm-hmm. When they were in the womb, John the Baptist could recognize mm-hmm. as babies.
Yeah.
But when they had grown, John the Baptist could not mm-hmm. recognize. You see, when we get born again initially, we recognize ourselves as brethren. Mm-hmm. When that new born again thing is in us, there's this brotherly love.
The fire of
new birth is just connecting us together. Mm. But as we begin to grow, as we begin to age in our born again experience, we are now 3 years in the faith, 2 years in the faith, 1 year in the faith, and as you keep going on, what happens is that the spots and wrinkles begin to show up. The hurts and offenses begin to come up. And before you know, that connectivity we had when we were born again, time is beginning to remove it from us.
Okay, so is it really that time is moving it from us, or what we are using time to do?
What is it time to do? It's not time, actually.
If we are giving ourselves to Jesus, if like you said, at new birth, you see them, they are really studying the Bible. You want to be voracious about
together
it.
With
and then before faith. You know it, they begin to slack.
Yeah.
They fell in coming to fellowship.
Exactly.
They begin to slack in you in another believer wanting to, find out about their spiritual growth.
Exactly.
They begin to, I'm doing it well. Mm-hmm. Like we used to have one, pastor, if you know how I'm reading my Bible. In fact, even my wife is really talking about the way I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Pastor, I can't come out of my house and read my Bible. But it's something that is beyond the words of mouth.
Mm.
Ordinarily, something we can read in your lifestyle.
Exactly.
You can't be reading your Bible and your lifestyle is otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Except you are deceiving yourself.
Exactly.
So, at new birth, they are eager. You want to eat. You want to stay in the waters. You want to just keep staring.
Mm-hmm.
But before you know it, what you use time for mm-hmm. begins to tell.
Yeah.
Because when you are drawing away from what you used to want to do,
mm-hmm.
it means that you are no longer, being in love as you were
mm-hmm.
when it first began.
Yeah. And then the wrinkles, the spots
begins to show up,
and then it now becomes a challenge. Mm-hmm. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
But I see every of these, it boils down to having a personal conviction and a personal experience and personal relationship with the Lord. The more we keep our relationship with the Lord more personal, growing more, having more personal relationship with the Lord, we discover that we can enjoy the brethren.
Mm.
I get what I'm saying? And you understand that there's no Jew, no Greek, no born, no free. You see, by the grace of God, we are missionaries. And once we see the love of God, once we see brethren, we bond. Are you getting me?
Mm-hmm.
We bond. In our previous missions field, I have a pastor friend who remains my friend till date. We still bond. We are different nationalities, we still bond. In this bishopric, God blessed us with association and we are bonding. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And with the way we associate, you don't even know whether we are not from the same national. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Now, the experience that John the Baptist had was a private and individual one. Are we together?
Yes.
That was the experience he had with the Father. It was a private and what? An individual one. Based on this experience, John was convinced at this point, beyond a doubt, that what? Jesus is what? Long-awaited Messiah.
Mm.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Was convinced that Jesus is what? Long-awaited Messiah. He's a long-awaited light. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So, you see, I cannot get your conviction for you. You cannot get my conviction for me. Conviction must be personal. You see, it must be, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. It didn't say work out our own salvation.
Mm.
No, it must be personal. No matter how we do it, yes, we have a place for iron sharpening iron. We have a place for sharing one another's burden. Praise God forevermore. But far beyond that is that our convictions about the Lord must be very, very personal. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
If it's not personal, we will not see the Lord as a light. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
And somebody who has had a personal conviction, you cannot convince him otherwise. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
You can't convince him otherwise. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Now, this makes us understand that only a personal, private, and individual encounter with God the Father can reveal Jesus the Son to man as a Messiah, who is the light of God. So until we have a personal and private what? Encounter with the Father, with the Spirit, Jesus the Son cannot be revealed to us.
Mm.
Are we together?
Yes.
And that's what we're having as a challenge over the years in the Christian faith. We don't have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus cannot be revealed to us. You see, Jesus, the Word of God, is Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore. And when you open through the pages of scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is quoted there. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 verse 2, the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of things to what, of kings to do what? To search out the matter. Jesus is quoted in the Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
If you go through the Old Testament, you see Jesus in the Old Testament. But it takes a relationship, a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit for Jesus to be revealed through the pages of scriptures in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Even the things that don't look like Jesus.
Mm.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Even the things that don't look like Jesus. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Because, you know, there's something called Bible coding. Something called Bible coding.
Mm.
It's actually for high-level Bible scholars who are into the Hebrew studies. They can be able to code end times from Hebraic text. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And also, they can code end time from Hebraic text. They also can code decode Jesus from Hebraic text.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the name Yod.
Using the alphabet. I think some of the alphabets are also like animals or something.
Yeah, every alphabet in the Hebrew is a symbol.
Mm.
They have the symbol of the cross, they have the symbol of the window. They are different symbols. They are all symbols.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So with Bible coding, you'll be able to decode Jesus from every text in scripture, every book of the scriptures. But this comes with a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Basically, another term is called symbolism, typology. Those are, you know, other ways to say it. But you see, this all comes with personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what we hear people say about Jesus, what we hear from people, you know, what we hear people say about Jesus, cannot give us, you know, the basis to believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
It can't give us a base. It's not a solid foundation to make us believe in Jesus. Everybody has something to say about it. Even many people have many nonsense to say about Jesus. It's over the years, I've never had a problem with people who blaspheme, people who mock, people who, you know, we are free to have our personal opinion. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Life, there's what we call freedom of religion. Is that not so?
Mm-hmm.
We also have freedom of opinion, but just make sure that your opinion is not hurting anybody. It's not harming anybody. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you see people who have their opinions, the best you can do is pray. You can't force your opinion on them. Praise God forevermore. But we must understand that it is impossible to have a personal relationship with Jesus based on people's opinion or what people have to say. rumor or hearsay. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And the reason for this is because everyone speaks from his or her personal and private, you know, an individual experience. Yeah, we all speak from private, personal, and individual experience. One of the things we've always made people understand is that the Bible is not man's experience. It's God's revelation of himself to man. So you can't live your life based on experience. You can't even interpret scripture. That's why the Bible says no prophecies of private interpretation. You can't interpret scriptures with your personal experience.
Yes.
You only interpret scriptures with scriptures.
Mm.
And your personal experience portrays what scripture has interpreted for itself.
Mm.
So scriptures interpret scriptures. Your personal experience can portray what scriptures are interpreted for itself. But you cannot use personal experience to interpret scriptures. That is heretical and fallacious.
Mm.
Amen to Jesus. So that's why it just has to be based on a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And with the Father God. That's the basis on which Jesus will be revealed. Remember, for Jesus to come, the Father had to love the world.
Yes.
So until a relationship with the Father is established by the Holy Spirit through Jesus, Jesus cannot be revealed. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Yes.
All right. Now, so everybody has their personal experience, their private experience, their, you know, personal opinion, and that basically builds the knowledge they have of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Private experience builds your personal knowledge of God. And if you would relate with God on the basis of personal experience, you get stuck at a point. And that's the basic truth.
Mm-hmm.
Relate with God based on God's revelation of himself to you. So allow God to reveal himself to you. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen,
amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, people get their experience with the world. People get their experiences from different aspects of life. And from Christians, they get their experience of God from the word of God, you know. But for you to have your own personal experience with God, you must go to the word of God for yourself. Dig into the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit interpret scriptures to you. Are you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Have Bible study materials. I'm using the 26th translation Bible. Are you get what I'm saying? Just because we want to know more. Stay in the place of prayer. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Are we together?
Yes.
When you do this, you know, you begin to have your unique experience of God. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Your unique experience of God. Everyone experiences unique to his or her what? Everyone's experience unique to him or self. Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. As such, God relates with us as what? As individuals. Relates with us as what? As individuals. So we have our personal experiences, but the word of God is God's revelation of himself to us. So based on his revelation of himself to us, he relates with us based on our, you know, understanding of him based on his word and our experiences that we have had. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, so God reveals himself to me, and I have experiences, and those experiences, they don't determine what God's word says, but God's word now uses those experiences to explain God better to me.
Mm.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
They use those. I know it got to a point so many years ago, the Lord, based on the things I was going through, experience I was having, the Lord made me understand, until I make you go through what I go through, I cannot use you. And I told my mentee then, said, until God allows you go through what he goes through, he cannot use you. Is there a basis for that scripture? Yes, the prophet Hosea. Are you getting what I'm saying? God told him, come, go and marry a prostitute. Let me make you experience what I've been experiencing, what Israel have been doing to me. Allow you have a taste of it. Well, some of them ask, we go through some things that we don't like, and we are angry, we are feeling pain. Actually, God is allowing us to go through what he's going through, so we can understand him a little more. And God wants us to understand him a little more. That's how Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. He wants us to know him a little more.
Yeah.
The more we knew of him last year was not enough. He wants you to also know him a little more. And that's the reason why he reveals himself through his word and then uses our experiences to make us what? Understand him better. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore. So everyone's experience is unique to him or her. As such, God relates with us as what? Individuals. So your experience is unique to you. God reveals himself through his word to you. And that experience you are going through helps you understand God better. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, in view of this, no individual and no private experience of God is to be used as a general rule for all. This is because no scripture is of private what? Interpretation. 2 Peter 1 verse 20. No scripture is of private interpretation. So now God reveals himself through his word to you. The only thing that generalizes us is the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Scripture generalizes us, but your private experience cannot be a general rule of thumb.
2 Peter 1 verse 20.
Yeah.
Says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
It's of any what?
Private
interpretation. So, no prophecy of scripture is of any private. Every prophecy must explain prophecy. Scripture must explain what?
Scripture.
No experience can be a general rule of thumb for explaining scriptures. But my experience is God's will.
Best for me. To understand God better. Not for me to tell people how God operates.
No.
Yeah, because that's one of the complications we've been having in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Somebody gets an experience, God teaches him something.
Yeah.
He wants him to know
through
scriptures, through his experience.
Yeah.
And then he makes his experience a general rule.
No.
You bring it out and you want the church to conform to your experience. No.
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 Moses experienced God in his own way. He didn't make it
a general rule. Yeah.
He allowed Joshua to walk with God the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Each and every one of them walked with God the way God wanted to walk.
Exactly.
I mean, otherwise, then we would have seen the judges and the prophets, you know, behaving like either Abraham or like Moses, you know, especially Moses.
Moses.
Yeah. But everybody had their mode of operation.
Exactly. Because
hearing from God, relating with God.
Exactly. I mean,
you can imagine somebody like Hosea.
Exactly. Someone like Hosea in our time.
I mean, he had no one that has experienced such.
Yeah.
Even Jeremiah's experience was not like
his. It was not like his. As wonderful as Jeremiah's experience.
So now imagine Hosea saying, many of you will have to marry you have to marry bad women.
You have to marry
bad women. So that you can tell other people how they are being bad to God.
Imagine taking that as a general.
As a general.
It's messed up. You know? And that's what is kind of happening.
Yes.
You know, people have their personal experiences that the word of God has revealed himself to them and has used their personal experience to help them know him more. And they just want to generalize it.
Exactly.
If you have a revelation, I remember once a man of God was speaking and he said something. And when I went back home, then I used to put my hard copy, strong concordance. To travel. When I traveled to come preach in a program. And that's when I traveled 2013 to come and preach in Ghana the first time. And so I came with my strong copy because I had not finished preparing in Nigeria. So I came with my hard copy, that big strong concordance.
But then there was no soft copy.
So I traveled with it. So something the man of God said, when he finished saying it, I went back home and I checked my concordance and I saw that for the Greek word, what the guy said was not right. And the man of God that took me there came and I was like, that thing that this man of God was saying, you know what? I said, man of God, let me just tell you, I checked in the Greek, I opened my concordance, clear for him. Because he used to be a teacher, I don't know if he's still a teacher of the word of God. I said, this is the Greek. What the guy said is not correct. There's something, once you get to the originals, you can't use personal gymnastics to bamboozle us. Don't use spiritual Spiritus Santos and say you're having some realms and portals. Once you have gone to the originals, leave your realms and portals. Read your dimensions and proclamations. Originals, we settle everything. When we go to Hebrew, Greek, it sorts it out for us. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, actually, for him, if God has given you a personal revelation, please keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to public for us. And that's what we're having. That's the problem.
I mean, at best, what we can do is share our testimony.
That's all.
But we shouldn't be tempted to make it a rule.
A rule.
But this is how God.
No. You don't generalize it. It's not a rule. And if we put this in place, we discover that every one of us will be having personal relationship with the Lord and will be growing on a personal note. Because God wants to reveal himself to us on a personal note. He said to the children of Israel, he showed his act. But to Moses, he showed him his ways. God wants to show himself to us on individual basis. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so based on what we have learned thus far, Being that faith comes by hearing and continuously hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10 verse 17, you know.
Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You know, and King James says the word of God, but the original Greek word there is not theos, it's Christo, which is Christ. So if you go to theia there, go to the Greek there is
Christ.
Christ.
Okay. You know. So is the Greek G2316. Okay. And Theos speaks of we have first as a deity and then second as Godhead, the Trinity. So under the Godhead Trinity, we have God the Father, Christ, the second person, and Holy Spirit, the third person. And then thirdly, it speaks of spoken of only and the only and true God. Okay, and then it also speaks of whatever can in any respect be likened unto God.
Or okay. Basically, Tia, if you go to the Koine Greek,
okay,
the Koine Greek, it shows clear there, Christo. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. That's the Koine Greek. You know, my Koine Greek is somewhere. So if I could go there for you now, it says Christo. So faith comes by continuously hearing the words of Christ. Jesus-centered, you know, teachings. Whenever we pick up scriptures, we must, you know, trust the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. Now, we can only be witnesses for Christ when we have a personal and individual relationship with the Father God, which comes, you know, by us continuously hearing the words of Christ. We can never call the Father Abba Father if we are not continuously hearing the words of Christ.
Yes.
We can only call him Abba Father when we continuously hear the words of Christ, because Christ says, I and the Father are one. He's the only begotten, I've become the first begotten. Are you getting what I'm saying? We cannot see ourselves as sons, as co-heirs, sons of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we're not hearing the words of Christ. If we're hearing another thing, we'll be seeing ourselves as objects of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when we keep hearing the words of Christ, we begin to see ourselves as what? As fellow sons, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ. The Father God only reveals Christ to us via the words of Christ. And that gives us a personal relationship with the Father God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe we've been blessed, and we'll continue tomorrow.
And as usual, let's remember to send in our questions to enhance our learning and, you know, make every other person enlightened more in the word of God. That's the essence of word explosion.
Exactly.
You send in your questions. Your question is to make us know Christ better, you know, and know what the word of God is saying in each verse.
Yeah.
So make it your duty to participate in this light, and may the Lord bless you richly.
Amen.
Share this word explosion with others. Bless the hearts of some others with it, and then together we'll grow in the knowledge of God's word.
Amen.
We'll know Christ more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer.
Please pray for us.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this awesome time in the study of your word. You have termed it word explosion, and indeed the experience over the years have been word explosion indeed. And so we thank you for this beginning you have given us this year 2024, and we thank you because we know we are progressively growing in the light as we progress in this month word explosion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask for light from your word. We pray for understanding into your word, and most importantly, your servant you are using. We ask, you know, Lord, that you grant him utterance, you grant him deeper revelations into your word in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, King of glory, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.